You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is the Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. I'm Jenna Bosgarden, Manager of Digital Marketing for Smart Equine.
And I'm Ashley Lacompte-Lozich, Head of R&D for Smart Equine.
So today we're going to talk about how every horse has their thing. The tarp they can't stand, the trailer they won't load in, that one really terrifying corner of the indoor arena. But when is a horse really considered spooky or anxious?
So we're going to break that down for you, from what's happening inside and outside the horse that affects their ability to stay calm, to nutrition and management, and even a little bit on the mindset of training. Plus, later on, you'll hear from Kit Frey on the Smart Barn Services team before we get to our giveaway. So stay tuned.
Smart solutions, trusted voices. Your source for equine health and wellness. This is Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. The discussions in this podcast are intended for educational and informational purposes and are not intended as veterinary advice. You should always consult with a licensed veterinarian or qualified equine health professional before making changes to your horse's diet or care plan. Hosts and guests cannot guarantee the reliability, accuracy, or completeness of the information shared, and as such, these discussions are not a substitute for veterinarian or professional guidance, and any actions you take are at your own risk. Products discussed on this podcast are not endorsed by Smart Equine and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any medical issue.
So, like we said, this episode is all about calming. And what better time to talk about this than right at the kickoff for spooky season? I think that something we want to do that we love to do before we get into these episodes is just to remind everybody listening that we don't think that your horse is a bad horse if he's spooky. And we certainly don't think that you're a bad horse mom if or dad if your horse is spooky.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. And as always, we're going to cover a lot of ground here in the hopes that if you know or have a spooky horse, you can either leave this episode behind feeling like you've gotten some great new ideas or action items, or you can just feel seen and justified in all the work that you are already doing with your horse. So let's get into it. Ashley, why are horses spooky?
What a loaded question. I feel like if I could answer this and give everyone any, I'd be like a multimillionaire. Like I would, you know, we would have our, Jenna and I would have our own company of consulting for spooky horses. So this is like such a loaded question.
There wouldn't even be spooky horses.
Right. There wouldn't even be spooky horses because we would have solved all the world's problems. But I mean, horses, I mean, first and foremost, right? The basis of all of it is that horses are fight or flight animals, or their flight of the fight and flight. They are flight animals. So like, unlike a dog who's going to like go investigate the scary thing and defend its family, horses are like, I'm out of here. So the first piece of that is that biologically, horses are designed to flee from predators, right? That's why most horses are bred to run like short, fast distances to get away from the cougar, right? Back in the day when horses were still wild and they were not kept in nice luxury barns with heated indoors, they were living outside, literally fleeing from whatever predator was chasing them. So their bodies and brains were designed to move quickly away from a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this comes up a lot when people talk about horses, but like, is there actually anything behind different breeds being spooky? Like somebody will say, I have an Arabian, and just the consensus is always like, oh, and people are like, oh, he must be so hot or
so
spooky
hot.
Or flighty.
Yeah.
Like, is that a real thing? Or is that just something that we've all made up in our heads as horse people that we've taken as law?
I mean, I think that there's something to be said. I mean, I do believe in like the nurture versus nature, right? So like all horses are flight animals. But I do think that over time, selective breeding and like I would say that in general, most people would say like, oh, a nice quarter horse on the trail is going to be super nice.
Sure,
you know, but like
yeah.
I sure wouldn't take my, you know, fresh off the track thoroughbred. So I personally believe that it's more of like a nurture, like how were they raised? How were they trained? And it just so happens that a lot of breeds fall into those categories. Like thoroughbreds are typically racing and, you know, Arabians are typically doing endurance. So they just have more in them. They were bred to do more in terms of like distance. So they have a lot of endurance in them. So I think it more so than it has to do with breed. This is just my opinion, but like more so than it has to do with breed. It has to do with like the nurture of how that breed has been trained over lots of time, right? Evolved into their, you know, specific niche of discipline.
Yeah, I think that's so fair. I mean, the selective breeding for years and years and years, like we really can't do a lot about that as somebody who has purchased a horse and brought it into our barn and decided to love it forever. But there's also just the whole, like you said, nature versus nurture of how was it started? Did it get exposure to a lot of things? Because
exactly.
Like off-track thoroughbreds, sure, they're known for being hot, but I think most of those horses have also been exposed to so much that like if you're okay with aggressive power walking on the trail, you're probably not going to hit a spook. You're just going to do it faster than any other horse has done that trail. So there's a lot to just consider with yes, the breed that you've purchased or brought into your life or rescued, and is that the right fit for what you're looking to do? And also, like, the things that we don't always know, which is how did it get to where it is, which can be a lot, especially if it's a new horse to you or you're in a new environment, which is kind of like the next piece of this, which is, yes, stress creates issues, right? And we talked so much about that in the last episode with mental health and wellness. So if you're interested in like what stressors are and what they look like, definitely take a listen to that. But like for horses who are either newer to us or in a new environment, like what are we looking for? I mean, obviously the blow up spook, the bolt for high heaven, but like what else are we looking for a horse that might be considered spooky or anxious?
Yeah, I mean, you can take a quick look at any horse that's experiencing, like even your trusty trail horse, right? You're out on the trail, everything's cool, a deer jumps out, the whole mood changes, right?
Yep.
The eyes are wide, our lips are tight, we're swishing our tails. Like sometimes you can like feel them like vibrating underneath you if you're on them. They're jigging, they start sweating, they're getting lathery on the chest. Very alert. And then once that initial spook happens, it's really hard to calm their nervous system down, right? Like we see that like, oh my gosh, I'm on high alert now. Is the cougar coming? And then it takes some time and reassurance. And like, I'm going to use a infant mom term here, co-regulation, right? Like you, I can't, listen, Jenna, you know that I don't sleep at night. So I can't help but let my mom life leak into the podcast. But like, it's kind of similar to an infant, right? Like the horse does not have the ability to calm themselves down. So we have to help them. And I remember as a kid, like getting ready for a horse show, and my trainer would always tell me like, hey, there can only be one nervous one and it can't be you. So like I don't know how true this is, but like she can feel your heart rate and she can sense your anxiety. So like you have to be the calm one and you have to help regulate the situation. Yeah. So when you start to see those signs, for me, the first one that I notice is the eyes. Like, oh my God, if looks could kill, right? Like the eyes are wide. They're like, you know, they could see anything from a mile away. And I immediately, the whole body just starts to tense up and then, you know, move on from there.
Yeah. Gnashing and the whole body teeth. Tense is like such an interesting one too. Cause I think on the ground, it's really easy to see it.
Yeah.
And for some riders, I think you're really good at feeling it underneath you. But my first horse was an appendix and he was 98% perfect. But that 2%, he bolted. And that was really scary as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And as a like half quarter horse, kid could pick up and go. But there was something that it took me a while of riding him to realize I could feel his whole spine tighten.
Yeah.
And I couldn't always stop the bolt, but I could at least get myself more secure in the saddle and begin to know what's going to happen to be able to mitigate the bolt that was about to go on. So I think there's something really cool about that, like knowing what those signs are, knowing your horse's sign. My most recent horse, who was also 98% perfect, when he was not at his 98%, his tail went up and everybody would ask if he was part Arab. I was like, he's filled up in blood. He just really feels a lot of things right now.
Yeah.
He is channeling the ancestors. So I think knowing your horse is so important, but having like those base signs, especially the eyes, like, so much that they tell you. Like, that's so good to have just at top of mind for riders.
I totally agree. Last weekend, so Andy is like 99.99%. We joke that like he is made out of like rare jewels and 24 karat gold. Like this horse
is truly best boy.
He is best boy. Last weekend we had a schooling show at the event venue across the street, and my husband did like the husband's class on him, and then my 1-year-old daughter rode him in the lead line, right? So like he's a very, very good boy, and I trust him like with obviously my whole family's lives. But there was a costume class and we dressed up as the Flintstones, and he was the dinosaur. Very cute. So he had like his little purple sleazy on to be his little purple dinosaur, and Nemanja was dressed up as Fred Flintstone and had like an inflatable bat.
Oh my God.
And that was like a hard no. Like, he hates fly spray. And I think when Nemanja was blowing up the bat, it sounded like the hissing from fly spray. And immediately, and like, he's my child, my 1-year-old is sitting on his back, right? So for this one, it was the eyes first and then like like this little snort that I'm like, he did. And then I was like, wait, let him figure this out for a second, just like show it to him. And it was like a hard no. Nope, go put it in the golf cart, get it away, we're not doing this right now. So like knowing that this is just not normal for your horse. Now if it had been Tilly and she had like snorted a big, well, you know, it's really a show venue, she's kind of she's tense, like she's just letting some air out. But like when you know your horse, you know which things to look for. So it definitely is going to be different based on, you know, how each horse reacts to external stimuli and what is normal for them.
And I love too, like, because Andy is 99.9% best boy ever, right? So like him giving you those signs Yep. That's communication, right? And totally. I think we've said it before too, but like a spooky horse isn't trying to be a bad horse. They're just communicating in the only way that they are able to. And if they haven't seen, or if you as a person haven't been able to see the crinkled nose, the tight eyes, mm-hmm. the really tense ears, the flag tail, like if you've missed all that, the only thing that they can continue to do is escalate. So like huge kudos to you for knowing your horse and knowing the moment he let out a breath of air that was not a normal sound.
It wasn't normal. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, also he does for being like, let him cook for a second, let him process, let him think. Yeah. And then we'll like reevaluate the situation for what's best for him. Like that's a really great way to do that when you can.
Well, thank you. I do my best. He like we all when we start riding, we get on and he does this thing we called like the snorty farts, where he literally like exhales and farts at the same time. It's really funny. And we like can't begin our warm-up until that's done. So like he is a very like vocal horse. Mm-hmm. So like but it was different. Like it's just knowing that, oh, that didn't sound like a sigh. That sounded like a very nervous, like, what is this bat doing in my vicinity? And especially because my kid was on him, you know, like I wanted to make sure that's how it goes, right? You just memorize your horse and understand. And if your horse is new to you, just study them, right? Like just make sure that you're constantly like you just said, Jenna, like everything that they're doing is context for who they are and how they behave. That's their communication. That's their language to you. So like all those tiny nuances kind of help you build the storybook of like, what is my horse's baseline? How does he typically react? Like you said in the beginning, that corner of the arena, is it spooky to him or not? The horse eating plastic bag that is that is stuck to the limb of the tree on their way to turnout, right? So yeah, just keeping in close tabs on what upsets them and what doesn't. But they're, like you said, they're communicating discomfort, which I think is like oftentimes like poor tech fit.
Yeah.
Like, ouch, I have a stone bruise and I'm still being asked to work. Fear, like the cougar is sitting in the corner of the indoor arena and I couldn't possibly go over to that side without dying.
And sometimes the cougar is just a frog, but like fear is fear.
Or a small puddle that they would not, in fact, die if they stepped into, right? And like overstimulation, like I'm at the show grounds right now. Like when we went to AEC's, we had to ride in the Rolex. I say had to. We had the pleasure of riding in the Rolex Arena, which was so cool.
But
like the Jumbotron and the people all around and like obviously like the pros, this is like their backyard. They're in the grandstands all the time. But for like little adult amateurs who, you know, are going to AECs for the first time, like, wow, that's a very overstimulating environment.
Yeah.
Or like horses that are carrying the flag in the 4th of July parade. Like that's a lot of external stimuli that can take even the best good boy and make him really nervous. So there's a lot of reasons. You're right. A hot horse is not being naughty. They're trying to communicate like something doesn't feel right with the situation. And my nervous system is alerting me that there is a threat somewhere.
Yeah. And just keeping in mind, like the word overstimulation, I think is so important to kind of hold as close as possible. Because like your horse can be stimulated to a point until they hit the over. And sometimes it's hard to know when that is. Like, give yourself grace. You're not always going to see it. You're not always going to know, even if it's a horse you've had for forever. Sometimes you just miss the signs and that's okay. Other things happen. But I know I used to get frustrated with myself, especially when I would miss those signs and my horse would hit that maximum spook or anxiety. And I have to like take a step back and remember that I don't even notice when I myself get overstimulated sometimes. Like, it's the holiday season coming up and I'm like going into this knowing like, girl, you have to just take several deep breaths and it's fine. But like, if I can't even recognize that in myself sometimes until we're like, you know, three arguments in on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Maybe I can also take a step back and be like, hey, my horse is a horse. He's doing his best. I'm doing my best. So just as a reminder out there for everybody who's like, I'm not going to be able to see all those signs every time. You might not, but you're still doing great and I'm still proud of you.
We're co-regulating. You're doing your best and it's hard. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
But I think something you mentioned too, you know, the plastic bag leading to turnout.
Yeah.
Turnout, right? Like we've talked about your horse's daily life and their environment and all of that. We've talked about it a lot, but I still think it's worth just noting again here, like a calm horses are creatures of habit, as are we. So much of what can help them when it comes to, you know, hitting those steps of overstimulation, hitting that threshold, being spooky, being anxious, starts way, way back at the barn. And again, we've talked about this a lot, but like, can you hit me with your top things that you do as somebody who has a barn full of a lot of horses to help ease what could be stressful or anxious situations just from living day to day?
Yeah. I mean, the first one, of course, is turnout. We've talked about this in every episode, I think, until now. And I actually think that, like, you had a horse in particular where you, like, tossed him out in a 12-acre pasture or something, and he, like, was a different animal, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
so, I mean,
my last horse was an absolute beast until he all of a sudden got enough turnout, and then he was perfect. So yeah. Crazy how it works.
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of think of myself, like, I live in Chicago for half the year. And like when it starts to get cold and I'm sitting inside, like I get cabin fever. Like I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, I want to go for a run. I want to see some sunshine. Like, so
I need to touch grass desperately.
Exactly. And my body was not designed to be eating grass all day long and I'm getting cabin fever. Right. So I think the first thing you can do is maximize their turnout, whatever that looks like for you. You know, if your barn offers all day turnout, take advantage of it. If it doesn't, yeah. You know, take advantage of what you have access to, even hand grazing, like just getting them out, having access to forage so they're not bored. I mean, yep. I know that when I'm bored, like the idle hands are the devil's tools, you know, like I just sit there and I'm like, oh man, like you ruminate on things, you're getting more anxious. So like staying active is so helpful, making sure they're outside, access to forage. When you don't have outside time, like throw them some more hay, keep them busy. Like that's so helpful. Like when I'm at a horse show and these poor horses are, you know, standing in a box stall for 3 or 4 days at a time, I'm just making sure that they have enough hay to keep them, or a jolly ball, something, you know, to keep them enriched in their environment. And so they're not just standing there bored, falling asleep. So that is super helpful. And like, there's a reason why, you know, when you see people talking about off-track thoroughbreds having their quote-unquote letdown period, they're literally chucked out to pasture for however long with pals, you know, free choice grass and space to run. So that's a great recipe, like friends, companions, putting them in a herd, letting them be out as long as possible, and having unlimited forage. And as we've discussed before, that's not how my horses live, right? My horses do not live in a herd on pasture. So, you know, if you are sitting there thinking like, oh man, I can't do this, most of us can't, right? Most of our horses are living in box stalls with day turnout or night turnout, and they don't have access to, you know, a 500-acre farm where they can just roam freely. So the best you can, do the best you can.
Yeah. Sure, and like you said, with it, as much turnout as you can. And I think like companionship and social time, we talk about that as like a herd format, which is really important and is really great for barns and horses who can and want to do that. But even though your horses aren't out in a, you know, a 20 friend herd, they're still able to see other horses. Like they're still able to know that they are not alone, that they have a friend that they can yell to if they want to, or just see. And I think that even can help just them take a deep breath that I am safe. I have other people who are also not concerned about life. So even if they can't be out with friends all the time, you're still able to, for anybody who can, there's still options to help them be able to have that in a way.
Absolutely. Like even just nose to nose over a fence, I think helps. Mm-hmm. You know, like you just said, visibility, like having visibility to other horses. I mean, you'd be surprised how much enrichment that provides to their day.
Yeah. And I know we'll talk about, you know, specific nutrition additions here in a few minutes, but there's also something to just how you're feeding your horse. And forage is huge. We talk about forage first. We will continue to talk about forage first, but there's also going to be said for how you are preparing grain meals if they get that. And I'll give a quick anecdote before I let you take the reins on this. But my very first horse, who again, 99.8% best boy, appendix quarter horse, never said no to anything besides a bath. He was a flea bitten gray. So imagine how fun that was. But he was a lesson horse before he was my horse. And we, as brand new horse people to the world, did not realize that a lesson horse who's getting, and I'm making this up, but 8 scoops of sweet feed probably doesn't need that when you're just a little girl's lesson horse and not doing 3 rides a day kind of thing. So he was wild for the first month. And we're like, this horse was so perfect. He was so easy. He was so kind. Like, why is he snorting and breathing fire every day? And it took an embarrassing amount of time for us to realize it. But once we got there, all of a sudden it's like, oh, what if we gave him, you know, an appropriate amount of senior feed as he's 12 years old and his teeth aren't great. And all of a sudden he was back to being this very reliable, very sturdy, very willing partner. So I'm sure that's like something that you guys take into consideration, but that was such an eye opener for me as a kid that it's really stuck with me forever.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fair. So when a horse eats hay, their bodies are using that forage in it's like an exothermic reaction. So their bodies are releasing heat, which is why like in the wintertime, people, throw more hay so they can stay warm, right? So their bodies are releasing heat in an exothermic reaction when they're eating a starchy grain or, you know, something like a sweet feed with a lot of molasses. Those are obviously like very simple sugars, high in sugar, high in like monosaccharides, simple carbohydrates. So they're breaking down really easy. They're digesting really easily. Now, I don't think there's a lot of good literature to support, like, beyond anecdotally, that like sweet feet or grain actually, because it's hard to measure, like, what does hot mean, right? It's hard to measure.
I don't,
like,
think
excitability.
I realized that there wasn't, like, supporting evidence, but I mean, you go to a barn and everybody will tell you the same thing. So that's really interesting.
I think that, because it's just, it's hard to measure, right? It's hard to measure a horse's excitability. So I think that we have over time just kind of adapted to, like, believe that, oh, you know, sweet feed is not something, it makes them super hot. It's just that, I mean, it's the same thing as you give sugar to a kid, right? They're actually, and even in that vein, they're now, science is kind of concluding that sugar doesn't actually make kids hyper. It's just that they're fed sugar at exciting times, like birthday parties or holidays. And
no
so,
kidding.
So, I mean, different story. We could go off on that in a,
yeah,
in a different
tangent.
Yeah,
that's super interesting, though. That's a good tidbit.
But, yeah, I think that it's just the simple sugars, right? They're having simple carbohydrates that spike their, it's easily digested. It's not sitting in their belly, they're not ruminants, but, you know, sitting in their belly digesting for hours and hours with this exothermic reaction. So it's just a different type of energy that they can use more readily, I guess, is a better way of putting it.
Yeah, I think that's helpful.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely don't feed your horse sweet feed if you're expecting to go on a nice, lowly trail ride. That's not something that I would.
Or if your horse is going from 8 hours of work a week to one. Like, just, you know, things that I learned that maybe we can help somebody else.
I couldn't agree
more.
But
I think knowing what your horse is eating, knowing how much and what that does, and if you need to make changes, if you are able to make changes, I mean, try things, right? And that's such an easy way for me to ask the next questions, which are, like, if you're looking to add to your horse's diet, so you feel like you've really balanced his grain meals and he's pretty solid, but he still has a little bit to him, a little bit more alertness than you would like on some rides or something like that. We're going to talk about calming supplements here in a bit, but if you're looking for ingredients, just straight up ingredients to add to a horse's diet in any capacity, we've talked about magnesium before, but I kind of want to give you the floor to wax poetic about magnesium for a second.
Because if there's anyone who's listening right now who's been with us for every episode of the podcast to this point, they're probably like, okay, guys, I listened to this podcast and this host, Ashley, will not shut up about magnesium. She must be one of She's one of them at Big Magnesium. I swear I'm not. I have no affiliation with Big Magnesium. But yeah, I mean, magnesium, it is so helpful in this scenario. So I, of course, feed it to everybody in my life, my horses, my family. So the first thing that I am a huge proponent of it for is that it helps to regulate GABA and improve sleep quality. And again, new mom, infant child that does not sleep. So sleep quality, when I do get it, super important. And I'm the first one to say that when I don't sleep well, and I think most people can agree with this, I'm a little snappier and
I don't like who I am either.
Right. So helping to regulate GABA, improve sleep quality, that is, like, heavily researched in the human world.
And for people like me who don't know anything about science, what is GABA?
Okay. GABA. That's right. Okay. So in lay terms, GABA is gamma aminobutyric acid. It's a neurotransmitter. So, like, a chemical messenger in the body, and it talks to the brain and the nervous system. So
that's cool.
Yes. So that you want your body speaking properly to say, hey, it's time to calm down. Magnesium also can help to regulate cortisol in the body, which obviously we know, like, melatonin is a nighttime hormone. Cortisol is a morning time hormone. So making sure that the cortisol is managed properly or supporting normal cortisol function so that we can maintain a good balance throughout the day and we're not, like, hyper excited at night or something like that.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, scientist Ashley.
Yeah. Hey, doing my best here. And then so we have sleep quality, big,
yes,
important. And the other one is muscle tension, right? So we talked about one of the first things that you notice when your horse is having an episode or having a moment where they need some co-regulation is you watch their whole body kind of tense up. You can see their jaw start to clench a little bit. So magnesium can help there's calcium ion gates where the calcium is flowing in and out of the muscle, which help to contract and release the muscles, right? So magnesium is critical for that calcium gate to relax the muscle. So you need adequate supply of magnesium in order to have the muscles relax. So sometimes with horses that are deficient in magnesium, they have trouble with that, which is another reason why, you know, even outside of nervousness and anxiety, it can help a lot with muscle function as well.
That's really cool. And I want to ask you so many more questions about magnesium.
Yeah,
I think we're going to do a whole episode on
this
in the future.
That's fine.
So I'll roll this through. But I know, at least in my experience, until you and I started talking as much as we have, I did not know all this about magnesium. I always heard about B vitamins. Is there anything to that that also can help support?
Yeah, actually, there's some good, there's some good science of the two of them together, magnesium
and B6. Oh, cool.
Because I think it's like B complex, B6, B12. Same story, which is interesting because we see one of our products with B vitamins is our appetite. But we know that it can help with muscle recovery. Yeah. So I'm looking at a study right now, actually, that is measuring both of them together. So magnesium and specifically B6. And the rationale for that is that B6 is also helping to increase the body's production of GABA. So it's all kind of coming back to GABA, which is, again, that neurotransmitter that helps to regulate impulses between nerve cells and the brain. So, yeah, I mean, B6 is just as important as magnesium is. And oftentimes you can see those two paired in a lot of different over-the-counter supplement options.
That's really cool. So there's a whole bunch of other ingredients in calming supplements that we could go through one by one. But because we've mentioned calming supplements, because we are, in fact, a supplement company, I do want to make sure that we take a good chunk of time kind of breaking down what calming supplements are, because there's different categories of them. They work in different ways. You should have like different expectations of them. So as far as I am aware, and if you would correct me on this, that's great. There are like the main types that we either carry or discuss are usually like nutritional, herbal, and paste. Is that right? Would you categorize them differently than that?
Yeah. I mean, I would say nutritional and herbal would be like the two subsets. And I would consider paste to be like an administration
like a form of delivery.
A form of delivery. Okay. Exactly. Yep. Because we have like our Calm Ultra pellet, and then we also have a paste. So I just say that they're for different applications, right? So your daily drivers are like this is fed with my horse every single day because his baseline is nervous, right? Tilly.
And relate.
Tilly. Tilly, off-track thoroughbred mare, also red. So that's not off-track thoroughbred mare. She's checking every box here. So we know that her baseline is just going to be more nervous than Andy's. So we do a daily smart pack, and she's on the Mare Harmony, but like a daily smart pack to help her, keep her baseline a little bit lower. Whereas like Andy, the paste would be like he doesn't really need a daily driver, but when we're going to the Rolex Arena and he's going to see us up on the Jumbotron, that might be a nice time to do some paste. So I kind of view the paste as needed, right?
Okay.
Fox hunters we see use a lot, like just for the day of the fox hunt because things are so chaotic.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So work faster.
They're easy to administer for the most part.
Exactly.
So it makes sense that would be kind of your day of additional support, or even if it's you're not supporting other ways, if they just need that for that day. That totally makes sense.
Exactly. And then, so like your nutritional ones are going to focus on nutrients, right? Your magnesium, your B vitamins, amino acids like tryptophan, they're going to support relaxation and an overall calm demeanor by just helping the nervous system function effectively by supporting that neurotransmitter release. Great for horses with like mild anxiety that's like relatively always. It's just a horse that's just relatively excited in general. The herbal ones are going to be a totally different approach. So these are not nutrients that are like required by the body the way that magnesium and B vitamins are. Mm-hmm. These are going to be in addition to those products. So things like valerian, chamomile, ashwagandha, huge right now. We're seeing ashwagandha in the small animal. We're seeing ashwagandha in human. I mean, KSM-66 is like the sponsor of Supply Side, which is like one of the biggest supply like global shows in the United States. So like ashwagandha is having a moment right now. Like people are loving ashwagandha. Trouble being with some of these herbal ingredients is that they are not all show safe. So
And I think that's something that I want to call out too for my customer care days. This still like rings in the back of my head that like for anybody listening who's showing your horse, I don't know that any governing show body considers supplements and especially calming supplements to be show safe. I think you can use them based on the ingredients as long as the ingredients are not listed as a banned substance with your association. But I really just want to say that we're going to talk a lot about these supplements. We've used some of these supplements and we really like them. But if you're thinking about it or considering it, just check in with your governing body, whether it's your trainer that's really plugged in, you have a show steward you can talk to, you have a website you can go to. Just really want to make sure everybody does their due diligence. I would really hate for you to listen to this episode, get super excited, then find out like, oh my gosh, I can't show on valerian. So just keeping that note out there just to be really safe for everybody, because I care about you and your horses and being able to show without getting in trouble because Ashley and I got really excited about something.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for throwing that in there. So that is one of the more challenging parts about selecting a product that may have herbal ingredients in them. Yeah. But herbs can be really cool, right? Like ashwagandha is an adaptogen. What does that mean? You know, it's aiding the consumer, whoever is taking it, whether it be a horse or a human being, in adapting or becoming resilient to whatever type of physical, emotional, chemical stress is being placed on them. So adaptogens are really cool.
Yeah, that does sound really cool.
It's a fun name too.
Yeah, right?
So, I mean, they do have a lot of really unique properties, and they can be used in conjunction with the nutritional products. Some products, some commercially available supplements will have both nutrients-based ingredients and herbal-based ingredients.
Yeah, answered one of my questions. So that's good. So even if you have a supplement that is nutrient-based or herbal-based, you could combine them if you feel your horse could benefit from that added.
Sure. Yeah. And some of them already come that way.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to take a peek right now to see in our Tranquility line. So we have our Calm line, which is our typically nutrient-based, and then our Tranquility line. So I want to take a peek at Tranquility Ultimate. Make sure that I'm being accurate here. Okay, yeah. So Tranquility Ultimate, 10,000 mg of magnesium, which brava, Team Smarty Pie. Lovely start. Lovely start. So with 10,000 milligrams of magnesium, we're off to a really great start here. Taurine, inositol, theanine, B1, tryptophan, right? So great nutrient-based amino acids, obligate nutrients that the body needs to function properly. Mm-hmm. Then, oh, look at that. KSM-66 ashwagandha, golden root, 5-flute, Siberian ginseng. So you're seeing both of these used together. And it's a really nice recipe for hitting because they work in different ways, right? So yeah, you absolutely can find it commercially available with both of them. And this Tranquility Ultimate is a great example of that.
Yeah. And I will say for anybody who does end up going to, if you end up going to our website and checking any of these out, Smart Calm and Smart Calm Ultra, we've had those for so long. Like people swear by these. I myself have used these. They're really great. Smart Tranquility is a little bit newer. Just mm-hmm. It's not new. It's just newer compared to Smart Calm. So it's different. It works differently. And in the combining and using them differently, right? I use Smart Calm for a pony that just needed it, just was always on alert, just always looking around, being nervous. And the moment we had them on the Smart Calm for a while, you could just see that a deep breath was kind of taken. And it wasn't that they were dulled. I think that's something I want to call it. They weren't dulled. They weren't, you know, not reactive. They weren't no longer themselves. We didn't take away the pony's personality. He still snapped his knees to high heaven if he had to jump a hay bale. Yeah. For some reason, that was terrifying. But like he was less, you could tell that he was more comfortable. Exactly. So he had to go on stall rest. He had a soft tissue thing that he worked out of and came back from great, but he was a different pony on stall rest. And Smart Tranquility, all of a sudden, adding a little bit more of an herbal blend to his food. Again, he wasn't perfect, but he wasn't a kite every time he had to be hand walked. So I think knowing that these supplements can come into play at different times in your horse's life and for different moments. So it might not be a your horse always gets to be on one thing, but these can come into play. Or like you said, with Smart Calm Paste, at an event when they're nervous. Exactly. Like there's a lot of things that can work in conjunction at different points, at different times, and for different reasons.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a very important distinction. Like there's no like sedative effect, right? We're not just helping them like out of sight, out of mind. Don't worry. Just be drugged and be happy. It's not like that. It's actually, think about it more as like we are helping them achieve a healthy baseline of like homeostasis and calm, like the way that it should be, right? If you're not in this flight mood, just the nice, calm way that it should be. And that's kind of the goal there. You know, you're not trying to change their attitude. You're trying to help them be comfortable in the situation that they're in.
Yeah, I love that. You're not changing their attitude. You're not changing who they are. But you had mentioned with the calming pace that these are like a day of, and I think everyone's probably heard of like Perfect Prep. We've talked about the Smart Calm Ultra Pace. There's plenty out there on the market that are really great and work really well for day of things. But when it comes to a feed through, which is something that you give every day in their feed, whether it's nutrient or herbal based, what is like a baseline of expectation for when people should hope to start seeing results if they're going to? Because I know we talk about that a lot where it's like, you do need to give your horse a minute, but like, what is a minute?
I mean, I think it depends on what the symptoms are. It depends on your horse. I mean, I notice, so in the summertime, magnesium depletes more. Here I am back talking about magnesium. magnesium depletes more easily in the heat. It also depletes when horses are in like extensive work. So when I'm like competing in the summertime, I always kick up Andy's magnesium. And I notice like within a few days, like I can notice the difference, but I know exactly what I'm looking for. And I can tell his tell is that he gets like a little head twitchy and like it goes away, right? So it's a very easy tell to see. he's just, you know, his head hangs a little bit lower. Everything seems a little bit, you know, more at ease. I would say I can tell within like 2 weeks. But I mean, some horses, like it depends on how long they've been in this situation. Like how long has their body been in flight mode? How long has that cortisol been coursing through their veins, right? Mm-hmm. I would say like give them up to like 2 months on something. If you really want to see, like, I mean, it seems like a long time. It's really not, you know, 8 weeks. And if it's not, but listen, sometimes you know it's not working or you're having the opposite effect of what's intended. Everyone reacts to different ingredients differently. Yeah. So, you know, give them some time. I would not, if it were my horse, I wouldn't pull them off for at least, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or so.
Okay. I think that's really reasonable. And I mean, of course, I think that's really reasonable because we have our guaranteed to work promise on many of our supplements.
Yes, of course.
So always take a look at that too. If it's a smart equine supplement, it's probably backed with guaranteed to work. I got to put that plug in really quick. But
of course.
I think that's really helpful. I think knowing, you know, around 2 months is a really good indicator for if it's going to make any kind of difference. And it just gives you a kind of a jumping off place to have, you know, further conversations with either your smart equine friend on customer care who's helping you or your trainer or your barn manager or your vet, whoever it is. But I also want to make sure I ask, because I almost forgot, you mentioned, I think it's Tilly is on Smart Mare Harmony.
Yes.
So that's kind of a different take on you guys can't see, but I'm doing air quotes, like calming supplement, because mare supplements are kind of in that category. But I always think a little bit differently. So do you know offhand what's in Mare Harmony and why it works for Tilly?
I chose Mare Harmony because I had her on, I think it's like Smart and Simple Raspberry Leaf, which is, you know, known for aiding in the support of hormone balance, the same as the chaseberry extract. So those are two ingredients that are more so related to mare-ish horses, right, in particular.
I mean, I've used raspberry leaf in teas for my mare-ish tendencies, so can confirm. Great stuff.
I used raspberry leaf in my tea to try to get my baby out of me. So there definitely is like some merit, right? And whether these are all anecdotal or not, you know, there is some merit to the aid in, you know, a regular hormone balance. So the raspberry leaf and the chaseberry, great. But then also we have peppered in there magnesium and some ashwagandha, which we know I'm a big fan of as well. So I thought it was just more targeted for specifically hormone-related imbalances in mares. And, you know, she was also going through some tummy troubles at the time. And we know that raspberry leaf has also been shown to aid in like smooth muscle contractions in the GI system.
Oh,
so just to
overall
keep her a little bit more comfortable. I think she needed more than magnesium. And it's not often that I talk about magnesium falling short in any capacity, because I do think it is like the hero of most calming supplements. But I really was targeting the raspberry leaf, the chaseberry, and the ashwagandha.
Yeah, I love that. So we have nutrient-based supplements that are great for helping maintain a baseline, as you said, or helping support a baseline of just a horse that can take a deep breath and, like for Andy, hang his head a little lower.
Yeah.
There's the herbal-based, which are great for horses that just, they need more. Like you've done what you can with balancing their nutrition and they're still a little up, they're still a little looky, whatever word we're using for the swivel of the head that they don't need to have. And then for your mare, or even, I know a gelding that was on raspberry leaf and it worked wonders for him. For your horse, it's just maybe irritable, maybe tail swishy, maybe just not a happy camper when they could be. Feel free to try a mare support supplement. And sometimes they're called like Smart Mare Harmony is our one that is great. And I know a lot of our customer care team has loved that one. But like you said, look for things that are just named like chaseberry, raspberry leaf. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of single ingredient solutions that I think are really cool too. So if you're like, hey, I don't want to drop, you know, $20-$40 a month on a supplement that I'm not sure about, that's so fair. Horses are expensive. Try something that maybe feels a little bit more like an intro, like a single ingredient solution. I think those are really cool and kind of undersung heroes, especially when I know, Ashley, we carry magnesium.
We do.
As a single ingredient solution as well.
We carry magnesium as a single ingredient, chaseberry and raspberry leaf. So,
and I think vitamin B also
B1,
maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you can really do a little mix and match here if you want to. And a pro tip too is that Smart Appetite is mostly B vitamins as well.
Right.
Even though it's called Appetite, it is mostly B vitamins. So yeah, you can basically, you can have like a smorgasbord of calming options, and you can come to the table as if it is an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you know, mix and match and add to cart what works for you and your horse best.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. And something too, just to make sure that we note as well, like we talked a lot before we talked about calming supplements about nutrition and environment and other factors that go into it. And this episode was set up that way on purpose. Like supplements are incredible. We work for a supplement company. We're obviously going to talk about that, but like, that is the piece that goes on after everything else that you can do has been done. Like these are not a shortcut. These are not going to fix a horse that's just stressed because of something else in their environment. Mm-hmm. These are support. So I really just want to make sure to emphasize that too. Like, spooky and anxious horses are tricky. Like, I cannot emphasize that enough. And if you have that in your barn right now, or you're dealing with that under saddle, like, I feel you. I've been there too. So just know that while we want you to try everything you can, and we want you to come to supplements if that's what it comes to, there's so many other things that you can do to help support that along the way too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And like we some of the things that we've talked about, turnout, making sure that they have companions, adequate exercise. Other things that I would mention are, like, I think I did in the beginning, tack fit, like making sure that you're
horses
change size throughout the year, right?
Just
depending on, so having your saddle fitter come out and reflock your saddle, making sure that your bit is sitting at the appropriate space in their mouth, making sure that the crown piece isn't too tight and you have a proper girth. Like, so making sure the little thing, that their teeth are getting floated, that they don't have some wolf tooth like pressing into their, so there's so many different nuances, and all they can tell us is the same one thing, like, I'm nervous, and we have to figure out why. So like going through the checklist of like what I would call like animal husbandry, just making sure that like everything that you can control has been controlled. And then, you know, when you're ready to seek out new or different ways of help, you know, that's a great time to explore supplementation.
Yeah, that full workup really cannot be understated. Like have your vet come out, look at them from nose to tail. If you have, I might be outing myself as being a little bougie. If you have a chiro, if you have an acupuncture, if you have someone that comes and does like PEMF or BEAM or whatever it may be, just have people take a look at your horse with you. We as horse people are so self-sufficient and so independent with what we're doing sometimes, and we want to rely entirely on ourselves. But like, we have such incredible networks of professionals and care professionals and things like that that we can work with that make sure that you're just talking to them as much as you can about stuff too, because it's your horse doesn't live. Well, hopefully your horse doesn't live in a cardboard box, and neither should all of your information.
Yeah. I totally agree. So, you know, bottom line is that like 99.99% of the time, there's like there's no naughty horses. They're nervous. Something in their environment is setting off a biological. Remember that. Like, they're not choosing this life. Like, they are biologically wired.
They also don't want to spook it every single thing they see.
Exactly. They don't. Like, that makes the whole day stressful for everyone. So like, they are trying to survive. Like, that. That's all that their brain knows how to do. And they're not intentionally trying to do anything bad. So, you know, work on fitting all the puzzle pieces together, and, you know, have some grace for them and some mercy as you try to work it out.
Yeah, I did have one trainer tell me, and I just thought of this once, that I try to hold close as much as I can. Like, if your horse is displaying these behaviors, like, there's a level of trust to that too, because your horse isn't shutting down. They're trusting you to see what they're saying, even if they've had to escalate it. They're trusting you to see what they're saying and hopefully do something about it. Like, there's something really cool and really powerful about a horse that wants you to know because they trust you to be able to do something about it.
I love that, because you have some horses that are so stoic, and then you have some that are like Princess and the Pea. And I think it's really lovely to kind of change that perspective of like, my horse is talking to me because they know I'm going to listen. And I love that. That's good. That's a good takeaway.
Cool. Well, I think we can maybe just wrap it up on that. Yeah, and so as like a final note, if your horse has some extra energy right now during spooky season, happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Samhain, whatever it is you're celebrating or not. If it's right now, if it's through winter, or even if they're just kind of that way all the time, again, they're not trying to be difficult. So with the right balance of care from your team, nutrition in the barn, and patience under saddle and in other locations, it's not just like a vague future, like, gee, I hope someday when he's 18, he's calm. Like, it could be your new normal. It could be this spring. It could be this summer. Just as I keep saying, and you're probably sick of it, but I'm going to keep saying anyway, keep trying. You're doing great. Just keep trying.
I love it. I think so too.
Now, let's meet the pack.
Hey guys, thanks for sticking with us. We are here with our favorite Meet the Pack segment. And today I've got Kit Frey with us. And Kit, I feel like we've spent enough time together this year at events that I could probably give your intro, but I'm going to let you do it. So tell us who you are, what you do here, and how long you've been here.
Thanks, Jenna. I know we've hung out a lot this year, but I'm really excited to be here on the podcast with you. I have worked at Smart Equine for 5 years. I actually started in August of 2020, so it's super easy to remember how long I've been here because it's a round number.
Very convenient.
I currently work with the Smart Barn Services team, which is personally my favorite department in Smart Equine, but, you know, I might be a little biased.
You're allowed.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I am a barn care coordinator, so I work with the whole team, but also have my own barn professionals specifically who I support throughout the country. I work in the Northeast area and throughout the Mid-Atlantic, so pretty much the whole Eastern Seaboard out to Ohio is the area that I end up helping to support both reps and my own direct barns.
Now that's cool. And we haven't really talked to anybody from your team yet in depth on what Smart Barns does. So before we get into your horses, and we do have to talk about your horses, I kind of want to dig into that. So you said that you support like professionals and you support barns, but like, what does that mean? Kind of like, what does your day-to-day look like with that?
Yeah. So really, I love to say Smart Barn Services is a concierge level service for a barn professional. So everyone on the team has either been a barn professional, worked in a barn, has that experience, so they know what it's like. They know how busy it is. They know that you're running around with six different things and a horse running across the field. So when you reach out and you need something super quick, we're able to help you. We really love doing supplement consultations as well. That's kind of like our bread and butter, which is why we go to the trade shows, why we do the barn visits. It's everything like that. But I would say Smart Barn Services is great because it's just that. It's someone who's been at the barn, is in your back pocket. If you need help, we can help with contacting your clients, getting orders done. If you have a really strange supplement question, if you just want to chat, we're here. We're happy to help you out. We're like your best friend who just happens to be at Smart Equine.
I love that. And, you know, I knew that you guys did a lot of the supplement stuff because it's obviously so big on what we do here. But I really never thought about the fact that, like, you can have a trainer reach out to you and be like, hey, we've got a show coming up. I need you to contact these five people and make sure that they have, like, their bridles or their halters or their travel shipping boots. And, like, you guys can help organize all of that. That's so convenient.
Yeah. And honestly, like, there's times where people are like, I'm on driving to Congress and I forgot to order Ulcergard.
Oh,
can you
no.
please help me? And we can figure out, you know, where that needs to be shipped to in Ohio to get to Congress, what you need that way. Like making sure that you are supported as a barn professional is our main goal. And everything else that comes along with that is just an added benefit. But making sure you have what you need and have us there to support you is really our jam.
That's so cool. So you guys are, I mean, the name is, you know, Smart Barn Service Professional, but you're also really an assistant barn manager for a lot of folks.
I mean, yeah, I always like to say that when I was in the barn growing up and, you know, working in barns, I always loved being the person who just knew too much and customers would come to talk and ask questions.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, yeah, of course Sparky needs this. So now I just get to do that for people all across the country in different barns everywhere.
Oh, so like 9-year-old Kit somewhere is like, we did it. We made the thing happen.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's so cool. We could do a whole episode, and we probably should, on everything that you guys do and all the clients that you work with and all of that. But I do also want to talk about your personal horse life and your horses. So I know you have at least one, two, maybe more. Tell me about the horses that you've got right now.
Yeah, right now I just have two. We had a little bit of a bigger program, but we're actually, my partner and I are actually looking for our house and our own farm right now. So we've kind of scaled back.
Oh, that's so exciting and probably very stressful.
It is. We've scaled back a little bit so that we can save up money to buy our own place. But
also
in that same time, it's winter. So that does help us a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. So right now we just have the two. We have my personal horse, Truffles. She's a 3-year-old quarter
horse. Oh, my God. Her
name
kills me every time. She's so cute.
She is so precious. Her name is Truffles because we used to own her half brother when we lived in Ohio, and his name was Chocolate. So.
Oh.
Truffles was actually a Christmas present for me. And when I got Truffles, she had her little nameplate was the present that I unwrapped, and it had like her paperwork and everything inside of there. And it was like, oh, like since we had Chocolate, now we have this, because we got her at 6 months old, we have, you know, a little Chocolate. This is Truffles. And it was the sweetest thing ever.
Oh, that's precious. And so you got her at 6 months old. How old is she now?
She's 3. Her birthday is in April, so she'll be 4 next year.
So she's just getting started with all the cool things you guys are going to do together.
Yes, exactly. And I think she's a little bit of a terror because I've raised her since she was 6 months old, but that's okay.
Yeah, this is your biological horse, so she's a terror. It's allowed.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's me who's raised her and then our other horse, Winona. So who's really at fault here? But
I mean, we could try blaming Winona. Tell us about her, that one. Is she's your Mustang?
She is. Yes.
Yeah.
So she is estimated anywhere between 17 to 20 years old on her
no
brand.
Way. She looks incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So on her brand and paperwork, she's 17. Like legally with the government, she's 17. But we had her tooth aged recently and she shows a little bit more towards the 20 side. She had like a cracked tooth last time we had her teeth done and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we just kind of say she's between 17 and 20 and we'll just keep giving her 17 birthdays until, you know, maybe she looks more 20.
Yeah. I think that's super valid. It's kind of like when your mom has like the anniversary of their 40th birthday.
Yeah.
We're going to do that for Winona for as long as it takes.
Exactly. And that is 100% the energy she has.
Love that for her. So yeah, since she is a slightly older mare, we can totally blame any of Truffle's issues right on that upbringing right there.
Yeah. And I mean, she's raised her since she was 6 months old too. Like we got Truffles and they went out together and they've been together since. So.
Oh, good girls. And so as somebody who works at Smart Equine, who has talked about smart packs and smart supplements with so many people, do you have the girls on anything?
Absolutely, I do. I have been a smart pack fan since I was a child. I mean, I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up on the Cape. I grew up literally as close to smart pack as you can pretty much get. So I checked in my account the other day. I have had a smart pack going for at least one of my horses since 2012.
That's so wild.
So
for you. Talk about loyal customer.
Yeah. The first order in my account is for a single blue crop. And then the second order in my account is for my first horse stretches smart pack. So
that's so cute.
But I absolutely have the girls on their own smart packs for sure.
All right. So take us through, let's start with Truffles, but take us through their program. What are they on and why?
Yeah. So Truffles is on Smart Digest Ultra in a pellet because she hates powders, and I love the Colicare program. So,
so good.
Yes, pretty much all of my horses have been on some form of the Colicare program. I feel like it's an absolute win-win to get, you know, the support that Smart Digest Ultra offers and the Colicare program. With that, there's really no loss there. You win
either way,
getting it in the Smart Pack. And then she also receives Smart Osteo, which is one of my favorite supplements, and I love to talk about it so much. But I get it for Truffles in particular because she is a younger horse. She's growing. We don't have pasture here where I live in Massachusetts. Everything's sand and pine trees.
Yeah, New England's tough.
Yeah. So with that, having the Smart Osteo adds in just the extra level of bone support that I feel like she needs as a growing horse, especially with the vitamin K that's in there. And it's really neat that it has boron too, which I love because all of the calcium, magnesium, zinc, all of those smaller minerals that are included, boron helps the absorption in the body and makes them just that much more usable. So it's
excellent. Oh, that's cool.
It's so cool. I love the supplement so much. I could talk about it for probably an hour.
And you wrote a blog about it a while back too, didn't you?
I sure did. That's how much I love it.
Perfect. We're going to make sure to link that for anybody who's like, what is Smart Osteo and how do I learn more about it? So don't worry. Kit's already got you covered. We'll make sure to link that. Okay. Yes. So Truffles is on Smart Digest Ultra and Smart Osteo. Anything else?
Nope. That is just what she's on. In the past, I have put her on Smart Omega 3 and E Ultra because she rubbed out her mane.
Oh, no.
But it worked fantastic for her. I got everything back in balance. And then I recently changed her grain, so I didn't need the added vitamin E separately because it's included in her regular grain ration now.
I love that. I think there's something so cool about the fact that as a supplement company and as employees here, like we can talk about the fact that balancing a diet can actually help eliminate the need to add in extras. Like we're always going to want to support horses with whatever extra they need. But I think there's something really important about being like, no, we've done all the work. We don't need this anymore. So like, good on you for finding that new solution there.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I think nutrition is one of my favorite topics, which obviously that's my job. So.
How lucky.
But yeah, no, I get to do what I love every day and I'm so, so grateful for it. But nutrition is like my biggest thing. And, you know, talking to myself, talking to you, talking to any of our clients, anything like that, like making sure you're meeting those nutritional goals is so, so important. That's something I'm super passionate about. So if we can find a way for you to meet everything and not necessarily need to throw the whole kitchen sink at your horse too, that's awesome.
Totally, totally agreed. And so because you've rebalanced Truffles, did you also end up rebalancing Winona? And does she have supplements as well?
Yes, she does. So she also is on Smart Digest Ultra in the pellets because Winona
win-win.
Also hates powders. I have two very picky mares, but that's okay.
I swear the pickiest and most tricky ones find the equine professionals because they know that you're willing to do what it takes. And I respect them for that. Game recognized game.
Oh, absolutely. Winona, we call her Winona the Wimpy Mustang.
Because oh, no.
She is honestly the most wimpiest Mustang I have ever met in my life. She does not like to be outside. She has to have a blanket if it's under 55 degrees or else she shivers. She hates the weather. She absolutely loves it.
She is not outdoorsy. She is outsidey. She is not built for that wild Mustang life.
Exactly. She likes things on her terms, but she loves to be groomed. She loves doing like little lessons with kids. Like she's
That's so sweet.
She's so sweet, but she's the wimpiest Mustang I've ever met.
All right. So then how do we support the wimpiest Mustang?
Yes. So the wimpiest Mustang, she gets our Smart Start Senior, actually. So I really like it for her in particular because she is older. She has a lot of arthritis. So I say she's a Mustang. She's very drafty. She comes from Oregon. So the horses that come from Oregon are usually a little bit more drafty. She's 15'3", but also 15'3" width-wise. She has these big, thick legs, and she has a lot of kind of arthritic changes in the hind end. Mm-hmm. So with the Smart Stride Ultra, or Senior in her case in particular, I really like knowing that it has that targeted hock support for her when that's an area that she has a lot of issues with. So making sure that she's comfortable, that inflammation is being dealt with in a correct way, everything like that. I love including it for her, and she's done really well on it.
Yeah, and it's one of those where, like, we know that things like arthritis isn't going to be fixed with a supplement, but it's so nice knowing that we can support just, like, the general discomfort and the nutritional gaps that they might have when there is a stiffness present. So I think that's a really cool one. And Smart Stride Ultra, I feel like, it's still technically one of our newer joint supplements, so that's really cool that you were able to give that a try and see some great success with her.
Yeah, so someone actually, Jill, who's also on the Smart Burn Services team, she's obsessed with the Smart Stride Ultra, and she'd been telling me about it for a while, and I was always like, oh, well, you know, Winona, she's just like, she does her lesson horse thing, but, you know, we've had her for 10 years now, and before she kind of moved on to being a lesson horse, she's campaigned all around the country. She's won over $1,000 on the ranch horse circuit.
Ooh, like, dang, girl.
She's done all of the things. She deserves it, so I figured, you know, there's no harm in trying it. And she's been fantastic on it. You know, she keeps up with Truffles when Truffles gets naughty and runs around the paddock.
I feel like that in and of itself kind of speaks to the success of it too. Like if she's keeping up with the 3-year-old, she's doing pretty well.
Right. Exactly. No, they get along great. And it lets Winona run around and be a little spicy when she wants to be.
And again, as she deserves after all the things that she's put in and accomplished in her lifetime.
Exactly.
Well, I love that. So we can't go on for too long, even though I would love to keep you here for 8 hours. And I say that to everybody, but I do really mean it. So I'm going to leave us with one final question, which is, like, you've been, you know, working with horses in the horse world for a really long time. But for anybody that's just getting started, whether it's on a health journey, a supplement journey, or just like getting started in the horse world, what would you recommend, whether it's something to keep in mind, an educational place to start, or just kind of like a mindset? Like what would be your takeaway for somebody new to all of it?
Yeah, my biggest thing I'm always going to circle back to is nutrition. When I first started in the horse world, I unfortunately was at a barn that ended up being very abusive. And I didn't know at the time because I was a 12-year-old kid going to the barn. So when I was able to get out of that situation, immediately, nutrition was one of the first things I learned about because, you know, if horses aren't getting fed, obviously you want to figure out how do you do that. And I find that it's a very common issue where people don't necessarily know when they move on to feeding their own horses, when they move on to taking care of that animal themselves, they don't know because it's something that's not really taught in general. So
that's true. We get lessons as kids on how to groom and tack up, but nobody's really taking you to the feed room to explain what your horse is eating and why. Like, that's such a good insight.
Yeah, exactly. And I love science. I love learning everything like that. So being able to learn about nutrition for horses, being able to learn, you know, what their basic requirements are, what they need to be able to thrive, it's super, super important. And also it's super interesting because it helps you learn about why the horse functions the way the horse functions, different areas of support that you can find through nutrition, everything like that. It's the foundation of your horse. And it's something that I think everyone should really start with as a place to go from and then learn all of the crazy things about horses from there.
And there's a lot of stuff to learn. There's a lot of craziness. But I think that's such a really just a really solid, like, attainable place to start, too. Like, you don't have to be taking 3 lessons a week. You don't have to own your own horse. You can learn about nutrition anywhere from the ground up, from online, from books, from webinars, from podcasts. I think that's such a cool, like I said, just an attainable place to really start your horse journey. So thanks for that. That's great insight.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I was the kid who was up late reading horse books and getting yelled at for staying up super late. And I was reading like a little encyclopedia of the horse from Scholastic. So,
you know, you got to start somewhere, and you started somewhere really smart, especially when you're so interested in science. Well, Kit, thank you so much. This was really cool. Loved learning about the Smart Barns team. Loved learning about all the things that you care about and your horses and what you're doing with them. I'm sure I will beg to have you back here at some point. But for now, I'm going to have to call it and say thank you and hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was fantastic and I would love to come back. This was so much fun.
Thanks, Kit. All right, everybody, and stick around for just a few more minutes and we'll take you through this episode's giveaway. Last week for episode 5, we gave away a super cute little notebook set and a Smart Equine gift card, and I'm excited to say that Lisa from Louisiana is going to be the proud recipient of that one. Congrats, Lisa. If you have not already seen an email from me, you will soon. Now, for episode 6, which is the one we're in, we've got a really great Smart Equine cooler bag. It's perfect for packing barn snacks, ice boots. You might even be able to fit a good handful of wine coolers in there, not speaking from experience or anything. But anyway, you can get that and a Smart Equine gift card by clicking or tapping on the link in the podcast description, which will take you right to our form. Or you can get there by typing in www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway to your web browser. One more time, real quick. www.smartequine.com/podcast giveaway. Entries will close 1 week after the episode airs, so that means you have until November 6th to win this one. Please be sure to get entered and share your feedback with us. We love hearing your suggestions and ideas. You can find links to today's guest and products in the show notes on your podcast player or on the website at www.smartpackequine.com/blog.
And don't forget, we are here twice a month on the 15th and 30th, but in between, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Smart Equine, or you can shop us online at smartequine.com. Until next time, stay smart, stay calm,
and give your horse a cookie from us.